in Acts chapter 2. And let's stand out of respect to the Word of God. In verse 42, we're going to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Well, let's begin in verse 37. And the Bible says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And for the promise is unto you and to your child and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I said the other night, He's a comforter. Amen. He's also a convictor. He'll convict you when you do wrong. He'll also teach you. He also leads you. He also guides you. Amen. He's also a protector. Hey, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Because He is God. He is God. And then look what the Bible says in verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation. And then they that gladly received this word were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Amen. Folks, that's a lot of people getting saved. Can I have amen? 3,000 souls saved. In verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and the prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily. It says they continued daily. Amen. Daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God.
Amen.
Praising God.
Amen.
They were praising God and having favor with all the people and the Lord. And the Lord added to the church daily such as shall be saved. Father, I come to you tonight. I pray now. And Lord, I'm like the pastor. I have mixed emotion tonight. And Lord, I want to do my best, Lord. But I will. I'll give it my best, Lord. But I can only do so much, God. You'll have to do the rest. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll take over tonight, and I pray that you work in every heart tonight. And I pray that, God, that when we leave this tent, we say, wow, God was in here tonight. And, Lord, I promise you whatever's done in this tent tonight, as you've already met with us the rest of the week, I promise you, Lord, that before the midnight hour, this preacher will get on his face and give God all the glory. Because you deserve every bit of it, Lord. And we love you, Lord. Lord, we love you. We love you, God. Fill us tonight. Give me a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you're going to do. In your blessed, holy, wonderful, magnificent, almighty name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated there. I want tonight, when I look at this church, I like to pattern my church after the church of Book of Acts. Can I have amen? I mean, if you're going to be the right kind of church, if you're going to be a Bible-believing church,
You're going to pattern your church after the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. And there's something about this church. There's something about this church tonight that, as I read it, that got God's attention. I believe with all my heart that the Lord would have joined this church. Why would God add to a church he wouldn't join? Can I have amen? I believe that God was so interested in the church here that he added to it. Amen. Now I don't know about you, but I'd like to be a church. I think your church tonight ought to be a church that God would join. Can I have amen? I think it ought to be a church that God would want to join your church. And so therefore, if God's going to bless a church, just like he did here, then I think you are in a pattern your church, just like this church. I think whatever they did here, God liked it. God liked it. Because the Bible says the Lord added to the church. The Lord added to the church. It didn't say their talent added to the church. It didn't say their band that they have on stage added to the church. Is this thing working? Can y'all hear me tonight? I mean, it didn't say your show that you put on added to the church. Just like a lot of churches are doing today. It's become a show biz now. And people go for entertainment. I said people rather be entertained today. Can I have amen? But the Bible says the Lord added to the church. Now folks, I don't know about you tonight, but that's the kind of church I think you should have tonight. And the title of my message tonight, what kind of church you should be. What kind of church you should be. I want to use right here in the scripture what kind of church this was. This church, tonight got God's attention. Got God's attention. And so much that he said the Lord added to the church. Now folks, tonight, don't you want God to add to your church? Don't you want, the Bible says unless the Lord build it, it's in vain. It's in vain. I mean, the Lord needs to build the house of God. The Lord, you say, well, wait a minute. I thought we're supposed to go soul winning. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. All you got to do is follow his commands. He'll add to the church. He said, I will build my church. All you got to do is do what he says to do. All you got to do is follow his commands and he'll build the church. I said, he'll build the church. If you'll just get busy doing what you're supposed to do, God is going to build your church. So I look at this church tonight, and I got to think of what are they doing? What are they doing that's actually getting God's attention? So, hey, Bible Baptist Church, wouldn't you like to get God's attention tonight? Amen. Just like that lady did, remember I preached about how can you touch Jesus? Remember on Sunday night, I preached that message. That lady got God's attention. Hey, wouldn't it be great if Bible Baptist Church got God's attention? Amen? And God started filling this thing up and blessing it and added. Hey, wouldn't it be wild if God added 3,000 souls to your church? Hey, but he can do it. I said he can do it. Hey, that's the same God, that same God right there, the Lord that added to that church, it's the same God that can add to your church. And you say, well, Brother Brian, what was it they did? Well, let me show you. Let me show you in the Bible what they did. In the Bible there, it says, chapter 2 there, the first thing that I want you to do, and that I believe that God wants you to be in order to be the church like this church, I believe, first of all, you need to be a praising church. I said a praising church. The Bible says that they were praising God. It didn't say they were praising the preacher. It didn't say they were praising man. It didn't say it was praising the building. It didn't say that. No, it said they were praising God. They were praising God. I'll tell you what. You know what? If people are going to come to your church, they need to see a praising God church. Amen? They need to see a church that's praising God. Boy, I mean just praising Him, giving Him all the glory, amen, and praising Him. I'll tell you what, listen, you know what, when the people walk in the door, they want to see that you're full of praise. You're full of praise. And I'm talking about praising God. I'm talking about, boy, you know, when somebody comes to church, boy, you want to walk up and say, hey, buddy, let me tell you how good God is to us, amen? Let me tell you what God's done for us, amen? Let me tell you, boy, we're so glad you're here because God's blessing, amen? We're seeing souls saved, we're seeing revival, no wonder that people don't want to go to church today. But this church was a praising God church. Buddy, buddy, listen, it's not going to hurt you to say amen. You say, well, we're Yankees, or we're northern people. We don't do that kind of stuff. Oh, hogwash, amen. Hey, when you get to heaven, you're going to praise God, amen. Buddy, when I see in the Bible, they were shouting. They're shouting in heaven. They're shouting and praising God. You know what? When people come to church, they want to see a church that's singing and praising God and saying amen, glory to God. Buddy, they want to see something you're excited about. Buddy, I go in some churches like going in a morgue. Amen. Dead as a doornail. I mean, as dead as a doornail, and he's full of spirit. Listen at him, amen. I'll take that, amen, amen. Hey, let me tell you something. You can praise God. You want to praise God first of all because you're saved, amen. You're saved. Boy, I was preaching. Boy, I tell you, some of the churches I preach in, it'd scare you to death. It'd scare you to death. I was preaching over in Burlington, North Carolina. Preacher one night, and boy, I got to tear loose preaching, and next thing I know, buddy, an old boy jumped up, and it looked like a train going around the auditorium. While I was preaching, they took off running, and about 10, 15 other boys jumped behind him, and they're running around like a train, shouting while I'm preaching. You say, what'd you do? I just kept preaching, amen. Just kept preaching, amen. They come right in front of me, and I kept preaching, amen. And boy, they were shouting, boy, praising God. Now, I don't say you got to get a train, amen, together, but there ought to be some shouting, amen. There ought to be some praising God in your services. You want to learn to say amen. I mean, you want to learn to say amen. Boy, I mean, aren't you saved tonight? Aren't you? Hey, you'll never snort one flame of hell tonight. You'll never have to taste a hell, death tonight. Why? Because you're saved, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Glory to God. That's something to shout about tonight. That's something to be excited about tonight. And boy, I'm telling you what, this church was a praising God church. Bible said they were praising God. Boy, I'll never forget, buddy, I'll never forget my wife, my first wife, the one that died. She was a Yankee. She was a Yankee. Now I got her converted, amen. I got her converted, so don't worry, amen. I got her converted to making homemade biscuits, amen. But my wife, she had never been in many churches down south. Well, we were sitting in Gospel Light Baptist Church in Salisbury. We had just taken that church. I had become a bus director there. And Miss Perry, Little did I know that one day I would marry one of her kinfolks. My second wife is kin to Miss Perry. And we didn't know, but she was sitting right beside us in gospel life. She had 11 kids. 11 kids, and she was a pastor's wife, and he had gone on to heaven. There comes that stupid train. Amen. I'm telling you what, I'm leaving town tonight, and I'm going to blow that track up before I leave. Amen. Oh, man, that thing's full of the devil, ain't it? Amen. But my wife, we were sitting there. We know your horn works, amen? We know it. You don't have to tell us, amen? Hey, I'm just talking about a train. I didn't mean a real one, amen? Going around, oh, here comes a real one around here, amen? Hey, but my wife was sitting by Miss Perry. She was quiet as a church's mouse. She's quiet as a church's mouse. She wasn't the kindest woman you ever met in your life, little old grandma. She was like little old grandma. She was sitting there beside my wife. And all of a sudden, somebody got up there singing about heaven. And all of a sudden, it hit Miss Perry that she got a husband in heaven. And she got to thinking about heaven and them golden streets and a mansion. And all of a sudden, she got full. She got full. And this is the way she started. She was sitting by my wife. And she didn't just all of a sudden, but all of a sudden she'd go like this. She'd go, "Ew!" And she let out the biggest yell you ever heard. And it scared my wife. And she jumped over on me. She jumped, fell over on me like, "What is wrong with this woman?" And she let out the biggest scream you ever heard in your life. Why? Because she got to thinking how good it's going to be. Amen? And how good it's going to be that there's a heaven. Amen? And there's loved ones waiting up there. Amen? And glory to God, I'm about to have a spell tonight. Amen? Man, praise God. Praise God. Praise God, boy. We just need church to get back to praising God. Amen? Hey, we're saved tonight. We're saved tonight, boy. And we don't have to worry about hell one bit. Amen. And boy, we ought to praise God. Listen, you say, "Well, I don't feel like saying amen." Start saying it. You'll start feeling like it. Can I have amen? Just start saying it. You'll start feeling like it. Hey, you say, "Well, we're not that kind of church." You need to change your church. Can I have amen? Hey, folks, when I look at the Bible, he's even coming back with a shout. Can I have amen? He's coming back with a shout. Amen? There's going to be some shouting going on. There's going to be some singing going on. There's going to be some glorifying going on. Amen? Hey, I'm telling you tonight, it's time to praise God. Amen? And that's the way your church is going to be. This is what it was. Number two, I believe tonight that this church, and I preached on it last night, was a praying church. Amen. The Bible says, and they continued, look in verse 42, and they continued steadfast apostle doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in what? Prayers. Prayers. It was a praying church. I'm going to tell you, y'all heard a message last night on prayer. You heard a message last night on prayer. And folks, I'm telling you, now listen to me. If you want to see God move, you better start praying. You better start praying. I gave you some illustrations of churches I went into. I can tell you about another one. I never will forget. Years ago, this preacher called me and he said, "Brother Brian, would you come preach?" It was in Boone, North Carolina. Boone, North Carolina, way up in the mountains there. Boone now. But it was on past Boone, up in the mountains. And I'll never forget, I got there like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, on a Monday afternoon. I was supposed to preach Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. And I got up there, and I went up a logging trail. I'm not kidding. Up a mountain. And preacher, I have never seen anything like it in my life. Up this mountain, zigzagging up through this mountain. and the mountains of North Carolina. And I got up there, and right on the top of that mountain was a little white church with a little graveyard. And there was pickup trucks, old pickup trucks, and around that church. And I thought, oh, my goodness, man, there was a crowd there already. And I thought they must be in there doing something. So I walked into the auditorium, and there wasn't nobody in the auditorium. There was nobody in the auditorium. And I thought, man, why are all these trucks here and nobody's here? And so finally I found some steps that lead to the basement. There's a basement underneath that church. And I mean, that basement wasn't, the hallway wasn't that wide, trying to get down those steps to that hallway. And I got down there, and all of a sudden I started hearing some voices. And then I walked on down the hall, and it got louder and louder. And the door, one of the Sunday school room doors, was open. And I looked in there, and there was that room was packed full of men. And you would have thought God was deaf. I mean, the way those men were praying. Every one of them men were crying out just as loud as they could, going, "Oh God, oh God, give us revival." Every one of them praying at the same time. Every one of them begging God, laying on the floor, pleading, begging God for revival. Amen? For revival. About that time, I saw this guy look at me, and his hair had fallen down in front of him. He looked like a sheepdog. That hair had fallen right down in front of his face. Well, he looked at me. He raised his head and looked at him. Sweat. He looked like sweat was pouring out. And he took his hair. I'll never forget it, but he took his hair and threw it back and went back perfect. And I thought, that was a pretty neat trick. Amen. And he come walking over there. And he come out and he said, "Are you Brother Brian?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I'm Preacher so-and-so." And I said, "Well, Preacher, I'm glad to be here." He said, "We're having a prayer meeting. Come on in and pray with us." And we went in there and probably prayed another hour or so. Those men, oh my goodness, they were begging God. I mean, wailing out to God. Well, let me tell you something. He said, "Now I'm going to take you where you're going to stay." He took me up down the mountain, up another mountain, to a little old house there I stayed in. Well, that night I pulled up about 6:30, quarter 7, and that church, Preacher, you couldn't even get on the mountain hardly. It was packed out in the middle of nowhere. And buddy, I'm telling you what, I got in there that night, and it was thick in there. That place was packed out. I think we had something like 16 people get saved that night. I mean, revival broke out in there. And you know what? I didn't even hardly have to preach. God was already in that place. Amen. And you know why? Because those men had been praying. Amen. They believed in this matter of prayer. Amen. Folks, why don't you men start gathering together and let's just start crying out to God and see what God will do. Amen. And watch what God will do. Hey, I'm telling you, this was a praying church. The Bible said they continued in prayer. You ladies get a prayer team going together. You men get a prayer team together. You young people get a prayer team together. Amen. And start praying. And I'm telling you, God will add to your church. Amen. And then look what he said. Then the next thing. It was a preaching church. I said it was a preaching church. Buddy, I'll tell you what. Listen to me, folks. I believe the Bible says, and they continue steadfast apostle doctrine, fellowship, and breaking bread, and then prayers. And you know what they were doing? They were preaching doctrine daily. They were preaching the Bible. Peter and them, they were constantly giving doctrine out, preaching. They were having preaching. The Word of God. Can I have amen? And folks, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. The Bible says in Timothy, stay with me. He told Apostle Paul before he left this world, he told Timothy, preach the Word. He said, preach the Word. He said, reprove, rebuke. That's preaching. preaching's stepping on your toes. Can I have amen? Sometimes preaching's gonna peel your hide. Come on, don't get quiet on me, amen. Sometimes preaching's gonna peel your hide, amen. It's gonna reprove you, it's gonna rebuke you, but also it's gonna exhort too, amen. Hey, I'm telling you, he's telling said it's all right to skin the sheep, but make sure you put the medicine on afterwards, amen. And love them, and love them, and but preach to them. But because why? By the way, it didn't say teach. It said preach. It said preach. But if you go on and read the next few verses, he said there are going to be some that come along that have an itching ears. Now stay with me. Stay with me. There's going to be a day, and we're living in that day, that people don't want preaching. They don't want preaching. I'm talking about rip snorting. I'm talking about preaching tonight. I'm talking about just rear back and let her fly. Amen. And preach tonight the Word of God. Amen. And preach the Bible and stand on truth. People don't want to hear that anymore. You know why? Because the Bible says there'll be some, there'll be teachers, they'll rather hear teachers having itching ears. One day I was at a stoplight. An old man was in front of me, and the light turned green. The light turned green. And that old man was sitting there, and he wasn't going. The light's green. Of course, everybody behind me started blowing the horn. But he was sitting there, and he had his finger in his ear just doing like this. He was scratching the ear. It was feeling good to him. Can I have amen? It was just feeling good to him. He was like an old dog, you know, scratching his ear. And hey, but you know what? That's what is going on today. People want to hear teaching or something like that that doesn't make them feel uncomfortable. Is this ain't working? That makes them feel uncomfortable. They want to hear Joel Osteen. They want to hear they want to hear Benny Chick, Benny Hinn. Can I have amen? Now don't get mad at me. I know some of you watch Joel Osteen, and you like because he's cute, and he's got the prettiest hairdo you ever seen in your life. But let me tell you, it's guys like that that don't stand on the old King James Bible. It's guys like that that don't stand on, they think us fundamentalists are mean and cantankerous and, you know, hard to get along with and stuff like, or we're legalists. We're called legalists now. We're called, a legalist, you know what a legalist is? A legalist believes that in order to be saved, you gotta do all the law. All the law. We don't believe that. We don't believe that. I believe for by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. It's only by faith that you can be saved. But I do believe after you get saved, you're going to live right, and you're going to look right, and you're going to act right. Amen. And because we preach against homosexuality, we preach against that kind of mess and everything else. You say, brother, and we preach against adultery and all that wickedness and ungodliness and all that wickedness. We're looking like we're some kind of mean preachers. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you. That's a lie of hell. If there's a rattlesnake outside this tent, buddy, I'm going to scream and holler and try to tell you there's a snake out here and he's going to bite you. Amen. Well, we're just going across here trying to tell you there's a hell and it's real, amen? And there's a devil that's real, and they'll wreck your life, amen? And it'll mess your life up. And we're just trying to rescue people. Can I have amen? My daddy, he had a funny way of loving me. My daddy, when he said, you know, when I did something wrong, my dad didn't say, now, son, let's go sit down and talk about this. Let's have a sweet little talk about it. No, sir, buddy. No, sir. My daddy said, you get to that woodshed. And that's where I had my first dancing lessons. Amen. I know what breakdancing is. Can I have amen? Amen. Would to God I'd have had 800 abuse line numbers to call back then. Amen. Or timeouts. Timeouts. Well, I'd have been hard dead. Timeout. Amen. Hey, you know what? But my daddy was rough, my daddy was tough, and my daddy beat the fire out of me. And I tell folks everywhere, my mama prayed me back to God and my dad beat me back to God. Can I have amen? But I want to tell you something. I thank God for my daddy. He's 85 years old and my dad's got dementia. He don't even know who I am half the time. But I'll tell you one thing. I admire that man. I admire that man, and I thank God for every whooping he ever gave me, because he saved me from being in jail. Amen. He saved my life from being a wreck. Amen. He might have been rough. He might have been tough. But thank God, and that's what we need preachers today for, to let you know there's a devil and he's out to wreck your life. Amen. And God knows we need those kind of preaching today. So don't get mad at your preacher. Amen. When he tells you the truth. Amen. Hey, thank God you got a preacher to tell you the truth. Thank God you got a preacher to love you enough to say, you better watch out. You better be careful. Can I have amen? Thank God for that. Let me say this, that not only do we need, if you want the Lord to add your church, but you need a paying church. A paying church. The Bible says, what did it say? The Bible says, look in verse 45, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And then we see in places where they brought the money to the disciples, and they brought them the apostles, right? And they laid them at their feet. And they brought their money and stuff. Hey, folks, don't get mad when a preacher wants you to give money. Can I have amen? Don't get mad at that. Get mad. Hey, thank God. Hey, preacher said, hey, we need another bus. Hey, dish it up. Can I have amen? Go reach some more broken lives. Hey, we need to put some more missionaries on the field. Don't get mad at that. Amen. Hey, these people were trying to get that church to keep moving forward, amen, and keep reaching people for the Lord. And so they were a paying church. They were a paying church. They reached deep and pulled out a heap, amen. Can I have amen? And they were giving, and don't get mad at when the preacher said, hey, we need to take an offering up. We need to take care of this, take care of the evangelist, take care of the missionary, take care. Hey, folks, I'm telling you, I promise you, every dime I get, I put it in my ministry just as hard as I can, trying to keep people out of hell, amen, and running hard as I can to bring people to the Lord, amen. And there are missionaries out there doing the same. They're out there, got families to take care of, and you want to keep them going. Can I have amen? You want to keep supporting. You want to keep giving. And then let me say this. I believe tonight that not only should you be a paying church, you want to be a persistent church. The Bible says that they daily, can I have amen? They daily were preaching and praying and fellowshipping and they were persistent. They kept doing. They were consistent. Can I have amen? They were consistent and they kept doing it. And they kept doing it. And they kept doing it. Now listen, I'm going to be leaving town. I'm going to be leaving town. Now my question to you, are you going to keep doing this? Don't do it just when you're excited. Can I have amen? Sometimes it's not going to be exciting. I mean, you think about that girl yesterday was full of the devil. That wasn't exciting when she was trying to interrupt you from winning that lady to the Lord. You know, I've had, hey, we got a hold of a Jehovah false witness today. That's what they are. Jehovah false witness. And he said, well, I don't see much difference in what y'all believe, you know, the Baptists and the Jehovah witness. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, when that guy comes back to have that study with you, ask him, does he believe that Jesus is God? And right off the bat, he said, no, we don't believe that. See there? You already got a problem. Can I have an amen? Because that is the foundation for us. Amen? Jesus is God. Amen? He is the one that created the heavens and earth. He is the one that, and I'm telling you that so the guy wanted to argue with us. He wanted to argue with us. And then finally, me and brother, we were out there, and he wanted to argue and all that. And finally, I said, hey, buddy, you're not going to change my mind, and I'm not going to change yours. And he said, well, of course, run his mouth. He said, yeah, he said, you don't have right to come in here telling me this in my house. I said, well, you invited me in. Amen. He's the one that invited me in, amen. So I said, we're going to go on down the road. Thank God we did. We went out and won a boy to Christ. See, the devil would like to keep us there arguing, amen. Don't let things get you discouraged. Don't let things get you down. Some of you are going to hit some financial tough times. Some of you are going to hit some rough roads, amen. Well, you just keep being persistent. And you just be consistent, amen, and keep doing it daily. The Bible says they did that. If you'll do it, you just stay faithful, that God will add to your church. God will add to your church. And then let me say this, last of all, I could say more, many other ones, but I believe this will do it. I believe that you want to be a passing out the gospel church. Can I have amen? I believe you want to pass out the gospel everywhere. Everywhere. I said, well, what if they don't come to church? It don't matter. I said, it don't matter. God blesses a soul-winning church. God bless. Look here. I'm telling you, because we were a soul-winning church, we saw families come, good families come to our church. Out of dead churches, God took a talent from another church and put it in our church because he knew we'd use them to multiply. You remember the hidden talent in the Bible? You remember the hidden talent? You remember he came to the one servant and he gave him one, and he remember he buried it? He buried it. Then he went to the other and gave him five, and you remember what he did with it? He multiplied it. Remember? He took what he had and multiplied with it. You know what? That's the way a soul-winning church is. As God will, there's families sitting in churches not going soul-winning. They're not doing anything for God. There's a good family sitting somewhere. And what I've seen through the years, God, because that preacher's wicked, I said, the preacher's wicked. You said, well, he believes the Bible. Yeah, but if he's not using it, it ain't worth a flip. Can I have amen? I don't care how much your Bible you know. I don't care how much Bible you know. It's not going to do you any good if you don't use it. So what God will do, he'll take, while you're out here passing tracts out, just passing out tracts and winning people Lord, God's going to pull a family up out of another dead church and bring them to a church that's getting the job done. And God's going to bless the church. I've seen that happen. And God will do that. But if you just get the gospel out, people will get saved. People get saved. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because you hear me, my water, brother. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Thank you, brother. For it is the power of God and salvation. I was a pastor in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I was pastoring Grand Rapids, Michigan there, and every Saturday afternoon after I finished my bus route, I had a bus route. Almost all 15 years I pastored, I had a bus route. I run a bus route, bring kids to church, and 40 years that I've been in the ministry, I've been in the bus ministry. 36 out of 40 years, I've been in the bus ministry. I love the bus ministry. I love the bus ministry. Listen to me. Don't you get upset. Listen to me. The bus ministry is the greatest tool of this century to do all the great command. I said do all the great command. The Bible says win them, baptize them, teach them. Well, that's what you do in the bus ministry. You win them, you bring them in through the bus ministry, you baptize them, and you bring them back and put them in Sunday school and teach them. That's the great commission. Can I have amen? And by the way, one day they're going to grow up. They're going to grow up. And how many preachers and missionaries are out there now that were saved through the bus ministry? My wife was saved through the bus ministry. 2 years old, lived in a project near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And her daddy walked out her mama, walked away from her mama with 9 kids. They lived in a ghetto project, two bedroom. And a bus came by when my wife was 2 years old, and her mama put her on a bus when she was 2 years old, sent her to church. But that little girl ended up getting saved. I preached in that church several times. But that little girl got saved and ended up going to Hiles Anderson College. And then got her master's, and then went down to Forest Hills where I was at, and got and married me, a good looking preacher like me. Amen. Nah, just kidding. Amen. Hey, what I'm saying is, listen to me. I worked a bus route, and every Saturday, preacher, I said what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go down to Division Street. You got some of your tracks on you, but I put mine in the car because I sweat and they get soggy. Amen. But I was passing out tracks. And I go down to Division Street, and that's where the old Mel Trotter Mission is. Mel Trotter Mission. And it's wild. Oh my, it's wild down there. You talking about wild? I mean, there's drug addicts and drunks and prostitutes, everything down there. Wicked people. Well, I just pass out tracts. I just go down there for about an hour or two. I'd pass out hundreds of tracts. Well, one Saturday afternoon, I was down there, and this guy comes staggering down the sidewalk. And he said, "Hey, I want to be saved. I want to be saved." And he was drunk as a kook. Drunk. And he came up, "I want to be saved." And I thought, you're not ready for this. And so I gave him a try. I said, "Here, read." He said, "But I want to be saved." I said, "Well, okay, I'll go through it with you." Kind of like the one you had this morning. I'm not talking about your husband, but anyway, I'm talking about Anna. I said, "Okay, I'll go through it with him." So I went through it with him, and I showed him. And we got to the prayer part, and he bowed his head and he prayed. And I said, "Did you get saved?" He said, I sure did. I thought, "Oh boy." I said, "Well, listen, tomorrow I'm going to be by here. I'm going to come over to Goodwill store right there on Division Street, and I'm going to pick you up and bring you to church. I'm going to bring you to church." He said, "Okay, I'll be there," because they let him out of the mission. there at early in the morning. Well, the next morning I pulled by there, and guess what? He wasn't there. He wasn't there. I said, I knew that rascal didn't mean it. I knew he didn't mean it, you know. Well, about 10 years passed, preacher, and I was pastoring there, still pastoring there in Grand Rapids. And one Sunday morning, I walked out on the platform, and I looked about three-quarters way on this side of the auditorium. I looked. There was a nice-looking gentleman, sharply dressed gentleman, sitting there with a beautiful wife and three beautiful family. Had a beautiful family. That was sharp, sharp-looking family. I looked up. Well, finally, I introduced our visitors, and I said, sir, I said, would you stand up and introduce? He says, yes, I sure will. He said, preacher, do you know who I am? I said, no, I don't know who you are. He said, well, could I have just a minute to tell you something? I said, well, sure. He said, about 10 years ago, a little over 10 years ago, I come staggering down Division Street. And he said, I was drunk as I could be. And he said, you took a gospel track, and you showed me how to get saved. And he said, you were supposed to pick me up at the Goodwill store the next morning. And it hit me, I remembered him. I said, I remember you. I said, you rascal, where were you at? I said, where were you at? Why didn't you, you know, I mean, I said, I remember you. I can't believe it. He said, yeah, let me tell you what happened. I got arrested that night. He said, I got arrested, and I had some charges down in Mississippi. And they shipped me back to Mississippi. And I've served jail for almost 2 years there. He said, but while I was in jail, they let me keep that gospel track. They let me keep that gospel track, and I'd read that track every day. And he said, and then I started reading the Bible, and I started growing. And he said, and so when I got out of jail, I thought, I need to go to church now. And on the back of that track, it said, Emmanuel Baptist Church, that was the name of my church, old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, soul-winning Bible church, and Baptist church. And he said, so I looked in the yellow pages, in the yellow pages, there was a church, had the same thing saying on their advertisement. He said, that's the church I'm going to, because that's what the track said. So he goes to church there. He ended up getting baptized. He ended up going back to college, getting his engineer license, finished his engineer license, and got a six-figure paying job, and met a woman in the church. And got married, he's got three beautiful kids in a Christian school now. And he was telling me all this. And he said, so I told my wife, I said, honey, I want to go back up north. And I want to see if I can find that preacher that led me to the Lord. And he said, we took a vacation just to come back up here, preacher. And then tears began to roll down the boy's face. And he said, preacher, there's the track that I got saved by. Glory to God. I come off that platform, buddy. I ran back there and grabbed that old boy. And we hugged and squalled and bawled and shouted, amen. The whole church was clapping and cheering. I'm telling you what, you just keep passing the gospel out, amen. You just keep passing the gospel out. It still works. Amen. It'll still change lives. It'll still get a hold of people. And you may not see it now, but you'll see it later. Amen. You just keep on preaching. And you decide that you're going to get God on your church. Amen. You decide God says, I want to join Bible Baptist Church. Amen. I want to be a member of that church. I'm going to add to that church. I'm going to become a praying church. Become a praising God church. Become a preaching church. Hey, just keep paying and keep on passing the gospel out. Amen. And just keep on doing it day in and day out, day in and day out. And you'll see God get on your church and God will bless your church. Oh, my soul. I wish you knew how important this is, that you can get God on your church. Can I have amen? I guess the reason I'm so strong in soul winning, I wasn't going to tell you this, but y'all ain't got nothing else to do tonight. Amen. It's Friday night. But I guess the reason I'm so fervent, preacher, about soul winning is because of my heritage. My heritage. You see, my grandma, she was Southern Baptist. But back then, Southern Baptists used to really preach in the old days. I was saved in a Southern Baptist church when I was a little boy. And that's back when they used to preach and stand on things. Amen. And so my grandma, she was a drunkard before she got saved. My mama used to sleep in the back of bars when she was a little girl. At 5 years old, my mama used to roam the back of bars. My grandma was a rough woman, and my grandpa was. Matter of fact, my mama didn't know till my grandpa died that wasn't her daddy. She always thought that was her daddy. But they were wicked. They were wicked. They drank real bad. But finally, Woodrow Robertson was his name. Woodrow Robertson. He was an evangelist. He came through their church. It was a country church. The name of the church was Lebanon Baptist Church in Weenieboe, North Carolina. Weenieboe. What a name, amen. But it was near Wilmington, North Carolina. And he came on a Monday night. My grandma went to that revival meeting, and my grandma got saved that night. She came back and told, my grandpa's name's Poppy. We called him Poppy. She came and got Poppy and took him the next night, and my grandpa got saved that night. They both came home that night, poured every drop of liquor down the toilet that night. But my grandma became one of the boldest soul winners I have ever seen in my life. My grandma, she was kind of like that lady I described the other night, the bulldog lady. But she had a big round body and real skinny legs, and like a potato with toothpicks stuck in. That's what my grandpa used to say she looked like. But I'll tell you what kind of grandma I had. I don't remember my grandma being lost. All I ever remember is her being saved. Thank God. But my grandma, we were in Wilmington, North Carolina one time. I remember this little boy, young boy. And we were eating in a restaurant, and all of a sudden a big old black guy, big old tall black guy was cooking back there. And he burned his hand. And he goes, Jesus! Like that. Well, my grandma, she just stood up in the middle of that restaurant and got her little finger. And she said, hey! She just screamed. I can see her now. I remember this. It embarrassed me. But she said, hey, do you know him? And that black guy, I mean, big old black guy, learned less, said, no, ma'am. And I'll never forget my grandma. She had this big black pocket, but it looked like a suitcase almost. You know how them old wimps, they carry big black. But she had it packed full of tracts and Bible verses, them little card Bible verses she always carried, and little Bibles and New Testament things, always packed. Well, she grabbed that big, when that guy said no, she grabbed that big, and there she took off. She took off through that restaurant. And I saw my little short, round grandma looking up at that big, tall, black guy. I can picture now. And she was just going to town on him. She had her little finger just going to town on him. Well, it wasn't long. I saw that big, old, tall, black guy get on his knees right there, edge of that kitchen. And he got saved. He got saved. That's the kind of grandma I had. I remember we used to talk about soul winning all the time. My grandma used to, she had a Skylark Buick, old Skylark Buick, and she'd go and pick up little drunkard back in the country out there, back in the shacks and everything. My grandma would pack her car full of little drunkards, kids, and bring them to church and teach them teach them and give them the Lord, you know, and win them to Christ and teach their class and things. She loved the Lord. I never knew riding just alone with my grandma's church. It was always packed. She didn't know what a bus ministry was. She had a Skylark ministry, amen. And she packed that car out every Sunday bringing people to church that she won the Lord. She won the Lord. Well, I went off to Bible college now, and I'm hooked on this soul winning thing. And I'd come home, and I'd visit with Grandma, and we'd talk about all the souls. She'd tell me all the souls she won the Lord. I'd tell her all the souls that I'd won the Lord. See, my grandma was my hero. She was my hero. Michael Jordan wasn't my hero. These great ball players were not my hero. My grandma was my hero. Well, I was in Bible college, and I come home from my bus route one Sunday, and my mom called and said, "Craig, you better come home. Grandma's had a massive heart attack. She was a diabetic, and she took 3 shots a day. Insulin. And her little legs, I remember, were blue and purple where she had stuck her legs so many times, you know, in the stomach and arms. She stuck that insulin in her. And my grandma and mama said, "Grandma's had a heart attack. You better come. She's in Baptist Hospital at Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 5 hours away." I was in Atlanta. I got my car, and I remember going, brother, I remember going to my grandma's and I going to the hospital, hearts I good, crying the whole way. And I said, "Oh, God, please don't let my grandma die. Lord, please keep her there long enough that I can see her one more time. God, please." I begged God the whole way, wept the whole way. I said, "God, that's my hero." I said, "God, please don't take her yet." Now, I remember when I got to Baptist Hospital, I walked in her room, preacher, and I never seen anything like it, but she was laying there in tubes. They had tubes coming out of her, you know, and all this stuff. And she just looked pitiful. She was fighting for her life. And so I went over there and I took her by the hand and I said, Grandma, it's Craig. I'm here, Grandma, And all of a sudden her little eyes popped open and a little smile beneath the tubes came and she smiled and I said, Grandma, "I love you. I was hoping I'd get to see you before you know, anything happened to you, Grandma. I said, I've come to see you." Well, she couldn't talk good. She tried to whisper some, you know, beneath the tubes and things. Well, about that time, they come wheeling another patient in there, a lady. They come bringing the patient. She was going to have surgery the next day. and they come bringing her in. Well, all of a sudden, my grandma started getting restless. I noticed she started, you know, all of a sudden, she started, you know, wiggling around like this in the bed, and I said, Grandma, I said, are you okay, Grandma? Are you okay, Grandma? I thought this something's getting ready to happen. And all of a sudden she started moving like this and stirring around, and I said, what is it, Grandma? And all of a sudden she took this hand and started doing this. She started pulling on her sheet like this that was covering this arm. And I said, Grandma, you hot? I said, I'll pull it down. And I pulled the sheet down. There was a stack of gospel tracts underneath her sheet. And she did like this to that lady. Pointed to her. I said, I know what you want. I know what you want. I said, you want me to witness to her, don't you, Grandma? And she went like that. I took that gospel tract, preacher, and I went over there. I said, ma'am, my name's Craig, and this is my grandma. And I said, listen, my grandma wants me to ask you a question. And I said, would you mind if I ask you this question? She said, no, go ahead. I said, if you died right now, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? She said, no, I do not, and I'm scared. I remember that woman saying, I'm scared. They're going to go in and do a major heart surgery on me tomorrow. And she said, I'm not sure where I'm going when I die. I said, let me show you. And I started down the gospel, you know, plan of salvation. And all of a sudden, my grandma started getting restless again over there. And she goes, I can hear her going, trying to say something beneath those tubes, you know. She was trying to say something. I'm thinking, oh, no. I said, something's wrong with Grandma. Something's wrong. And I'm right in the middle of it. I'm right in the middle, you know, winning this lady to the Lord. And I said, ma'am, could you hold on just a minute? Let me check on my grandma. And I said, Grandma, what is it? What's wrong, Grandma? And she's laying there, and she goes, Let me tell her. I said, Grandma, you want to tell her, don't you? She said, I said, ma'am, I went back over there, preacher. I went back over to my, I said, ma'am, listen, would you mind coming over here and leaning across and listening to my grandma as she finished telling you how to go to heaven? She said, no, that's no problem. And I, preacher, I sit on the other side of that bed, or stood on the other side of the bed, while I watched that lady lean down across my grandma, and I watched tears. I watched that lady as tears fell on my grandma, and that lady got saved. Amen? That lady got saved. I finally had to leave, and the next week, next Sunday, I got a phone call. And my mama said, Craig, Grandma's gone home to be with the Lord. I drove all the way back to home, and on Monday we went to the funeral home, preacher. And there's my grandma laying in a casket. And I'll never forget, as we passed by her body, I'll never forget that day we passed by her body. And my brother kissed her on the cheek and said, Grandma, I love you. And passed on by. My sister came by and leaned down and kissed her. But then when I got to Grandma, I leaned down over Grandma. And I said, Grandma, I said, I promise you. I promise you. I promise you that I will never let soul women die. I promise I'll carry it on, Grandma. I promise I'll carry it on. And I promise that the day I take my last breath will be the last thing that I'm saying, preaching the gospel and getting somebody saved. And I'm telling you, that's why I go as hard as I can. That's why I leave my wife behind sometimes and have to. And that's why when I go until I'm physically exhausted. Why? Because I got a heritage. I got something to carry on. There are people going to hell, and I got to do everything I can to rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Amen. And if you don't get this thing, if you don't get a hold of this thing, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it in this town? Nobody's doing it, amen? You've got to get a hold of this thing, and you got to decide that you're going to go to the highways and the hedges and compel people and show them that Jesus loves them, amen? And that Jesus died for them and paid for all their sin. Oh my goodness. Why don't you decide tonight that that's the kind of church we're going to be, amen? And I believe God will add to your church and build your church and bless your church.